Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Hanukkah is probably one of the best-known Jewish holidays, not because of any great religious significance, but because of its proximity to Christmas. Many non-Jews, and even many assimilated Jews, think of this holiday as the Jewish Christmas, adopting many of the Christmas customs, such as elaborate gift-giving and decoration. It's ironic that this holiday, which has its roots in a revolution against assimilation and the suppression of the Jewish religion and culture, has become the most assimilated secular holiday on our calendar. This year, the first night of Hanukkah falls on December 24th, coinciding with Christmas Eve. This has caused many people to associate the two holidays even more than usual, coining the word Chrismukkah to refer to the merging of the two holidays either in interfaith households or all Jewish households who celebrate Christmas as a secular holiday. In fact, Hanukkah is a paradigm of the relationship between acculturation and assimilation. The final victory of Hanukkah was set in motion by the resistance of a relatively small group of traditional Jews to the growing encroachment of Hellenistic values. The arrogant universalism in Hellenism demanded that Jews give up their distinctive religious ways for the greater good, and many Jews went along with them. So when we celebrate the victory of the Maccabees over the Syrian Greeks, we need to remember what was really at stake in this major confrontation. This was a war unlike any other. It wasn't fought to conquer more territory or capture more booty. This was ultimately a conflict between two totally different ways of viewing the world. So the story of Hanukkah is all about a clash of cultures. The Greeks weren't out to kill the Jews. Their intent wasn't genocide of a people, but rather the annihilation of their culture through assimilation. This is why this holiday is so important. As one rabbi said, Hanukkah carries an anti-assimilationist message that's as relevant today as it was 1800 years ago. So because of the coincidence in time of the two holidays this year, I've decided to read you a short memoir by Anne Roifey, Taking Down the Christmas Tree, from the book Celebrating the Jewish Holidays, edited by Stephen J. Rubin and published by Brandeis University Press in 2003. In December of 1978, the New York Times asked me to write a small piece on a Christmas theme for the home section of the paper. I dashed off an essay on being Jewish and having a Christmas tree. The Times published it the Thursday before the holiday. I had thought this a small, unimportant piece, a kind of family musing that would melt in the mind of the reader like a snowflake on the tongue. I've made misjudgments in my life, but none so consequential for me as this one. The phones rang at the New York Times. It seemed as if all the officers of all the major Jewish organizations were complaining to their personal friends at the Times about my piece. Housewives, rabbis, lawyers, doctors, businessmen, all but Indian chiefs phoned or wrote in, furious that the paper had published an article that advocated assimilation, displayed ignorance of Judaism, and seemed to express contempt for the Jewish way of life. At our house, the phone calls began on Thursday at noon and lasted for weeks. What I wrote in the New York Times was this: every Christmas, my family bought a Christmas tree. And it seemed as if every Christmas we ran into the rabbi who lived across the street just as we were bringing the tree into our house. I always felt uncomfortable, embarrassed, and I didn't quite understand why. True, my family was Jewish, and all of us identified as such. But we had made a decision not to celebrate Hanukkah, because we were secular Jews, because Hanukkah had always seemed to me to be a holiday about an unacceptable miracle. God, I said, should have prevented the war in the first place, saved the lives of those who died in battle on both sides, instead of merely allowing a small can of oil an extended life. After the Holocaust, the miracle of the can of oil seemed pretty weak. At this point in my article, I made an embarrassing mistake. I confused the Romans with the Syrians and revealed to the readers of the New York Times that I had learned about Hanukkah so many years before and had become so indifferent that even my grasp of Jewish history had grown weak. I aptly, if unconsciously, demonstrated the point that ignorance about Judaism is the ice on the slippery slope to total assimilation. In my essay, I concluded by stating that we celebrated Christmas because it was a way to come together as a family, to pause in our daily efforts, to be with each other, and to give something to each other. In honor of what? In honor of the family, I supposed. The intense response to the piece made me realize that I had inadvertently offended many people. Rabbis were using the piece as the subject of their sermons, treating me as if I were a female Arafat. Every day, rabbis, scholars, and friends invited me to explore Judaism and see what it was that I had missed. I accepted those invitations. My studies made me realize that I had not freely chosen to be less Jewish and more American. I hadn't known that assimilation was something that was happening to me and my family. I hadn't known that a tide of history had borne my family from Central Europe to the shores of the Lower East Side and up to the portals of the best colleges in the land. I had not understood the force of the dominant culture playing against my fragile identity, telling me that I would be more beautiful if I looked like a non-Jew with straight blonde hair and a short nose. I hadn't understood that, growing up in the 40s, I had absorbed the anti-Semitism of the culture, and that's why I thought that people who spoke with accents were peculiar, that Jews were outsiders. I wanted to be inside with the others. And where were the others at Christmas? They were gathered around their Christmas tree. Before I began to learn about Judaism, I didn't realize that assimilation had a dark side. I thought assimilation was a process as natural and inevitable as breathing. That's not quite true. I didn't think about it at all. I now realize that assimilation can produce an identity that is shallow, materialistic, unrooted, and anxious. Assimilation can deprive a person of the pleasure of belonging and the vitality that comes from real knowledge about and interest in that person's own community. To be American and nothing else is to be bland, like a McDonald's hamburger, to be flat like the highways that cross Kansas, to be dull like our nightly TV programs. Americans can spout platitudes about the Constitution and brotherly love and the wonder of Paul Revere riding through the night, but the American identity, if it's not grafted onto something firm, turns to vapor, a substance that cannot sustain or nourish. My studies of Judaism made me understand the conflicts my parents and I had faced. I realized that the concepts of diaspora and melting pot are directly opposed, and that my parents had chosen the melting pot for reasons that were legitimate enough for them. When I was growing up, Christmas was the only holiday of the solstice that was important. My mother found it hard to resist the twinkling lights, the fir trees, the reindeer, and the presents that were all around her. At that time, no one celebrated Hanukkah in a way that could compete with the apparent joyousness of Christmas. This was no small matter, because the power of Christmas, the carols, the mass, and the commercial hoopla, was very great and made the American mainstream Christian world seem more appealing than the Jewish one. The choices individuals and families make about Christmas are significant statements about assimilation, about how these individuals and families will live as Jews in America, and where they will stand on the tightrope between being Jewish and being American. When Jews resist Christmas, we affirm our own separate identity. When Jews resist Christmas, we reduce the hypocrisy in our lives and increase our personal security by deepening our roots within our own traditions. We claim our right to participate as equals and not just as a barely tolerated minority when we insist on not going along with the dominant culture. I now see Hanukkah not as a celebration of the miracle of the oil. I still think that God must make a grander miracle to earn our amazement. I see Hanukkah as a time when, as we light the candles, we pause in awe before the Jewish people, whose survival through adversity brings light into the darkness of the human soul. This view makes me Jewish in a different way from the way in which I was Jewish before. It makes me a part of the continuity while allowing me still to be myself, a modern American Jew filled with all the doubts and dark thoughts that are common to my times. Christmas is not the innocent matter that I had once thought. We hope that this will help everyone to reflect on the meaning of Hanukkah and on the ideas of assimilation, identity, and diversity. And however you celebrate, we wish all our listeners a very happy holiday season. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSephirod.com. See you next week.